Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Things are about to get real for John Paul Miller. He's got the trial coming up in October. But even more important, Netflix is about to drop a new doc informing the world who may not know about John Paul Miller, JP, and the saga, the tragedy, and the death of Micah Miller, the woman who, in my opinion, and the opinion of many, was driven to end her own life because of the coercive control and the manipulating, abusive behavior of Pastor John Paul Miller. That's my opinion. It will be litigated. If you're new to this whole story and you're going, what is this all about? Welcome to the video. Welcome to the channel. Hit subscribe. I'm going to give you the summary, if you will, as best we can, a very impassioned summary of this whole saga. There's more of it on our channel, and there's going to be more coming, because I can assure you we will be talking about this in depth in the coming weeks as this doc drops with psychotherapists. I'm sure Siobhan Scott we're going to be on. There's already some great content with Siobhan talking about this case on our channel. Just search John Paul Miller or anything relating to this case on our channel, and you will you'll find it. On June 1st of 2025, John Paul Miller stood on a beach in Myrtle Beach and married his third wife. Armed guards surrounded the ceremony. None of the couple's 7 combined children attended. That usually tells you a little something, something about what's going on with an individual when not even one of the 7 will attend. His father, a man convicted of federal labor fraud, also walked the grounds. he's a big winner too. And we may get to him in this piece. If not, there will be pieces, because that man also has a lovely string of allegations that have followed him throughout his life. And if you look at the son and the father, the respect of women, I think really respect of other people in general, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree with fruit that, to put it nicely, lacks that quality. The bride was Susie Skinner. And as of this recording, she's still alive. It's a weird thing to say about someone's wife. Yeah, it is. Unless you're John Paul Miller's wife. This is an active story. He ain't locked away yet. And mark my words, there will be more drama. I just hope it isn't with you, Susie, in the ground. Let's just say you've been warned. Susie Skinner was a woman from John Paul's congregation whose previous husband had drowned in a community pool 4 years earlier. JP happened to be very close by at the time. Again, we'll get to that too. That husband was Chris Skinner, a quadriplegic Army veteran and motivational speaker. According to sworn affidavit from Miller's first ex-wife, Chris had confronted John Paul 2 weeks before his death and asked the pastor to stop effing his wife, basically. To leave his wife and children alone. John Paul Miller's second wife, Micah, had been dead for 13 months. Her death was ruled self-inflicted. And that's a central thing to this whole story. And I've not seen the Netflix doc yet. I haven't gotten an advanced on it. I don't know where it goes, but I will say this. Be careful where it leads. I don't know where it leads, but I've examined this case deeply in the last several years. And at the end of the day, the conclusion I come to on Micah's end is also that she did it herself. How she got there, I think that's the story. That, to me, that is the big crux of all this, of driving someone who's already suffering from some mental illness to that place, the ability to get someone there to take advantage of their weaknesses, of their illness in some ways, in many ways, actually, in my opinion. And treating them in such a way, and when you look at how he treated her, the things that had been said, the things that had been documented, the gaslighting, the manipulation, the total two-faced behavior of one person here, one person there, and the other, it's stunning. This is a stunning case when you look at the monstrousness of the behavior that appears to have taken place in that relationship, in my opinion. That to me is the whole story. I don't know that there's a road to go down where you can pinpoint, honestly, anyone else being involved in her ending it in terms of like a murder. What this is far more sadistic. It's far more evil. It's far darker than someone stalking her down in the woods and doing that to her. This is someone who literally made life, allegedly, such hell in this woman's brain that she decided this was the best route That to me is even scarier. There's a federal indictment, two civil lawsuits alleging assault of minors, an FBI raid with no public explanation, and a three-part Netflix documentary called Death of a Pastor's Wife that is coming out August 26th of 2026. So depending on when you're watching this, it may already be out. His federal pretrial conference is actually the day before that. And we're going to be covering all of it. John Paul Miller didn't build himself from nothing. He's a second generation product. His father, Reginald Wayne Miller, ran what was described as the largest charismatic church in eastern South Carolina. He had a Bible college named Cathedral Bible College, a morning TV show called Good Morning Jesus, and property he'd acquired from the old Myrtle Beach Air Force Base. Looked like a legitimate ministry empire for a while. It wasn't. In 1989, WPDE aired a five-part investigation where young men from Reginald's congregation appeared on camera and alleged he made advances towards them. In 2006, he was arrested at Bath House on charges that were later expunged. In 2015, Reginald pled guilty to four federal felonies and two misdemeanors. Foreign students at his Bible college had been forced to work for little to no pay. You know, Jesus-y. Housed in substandard conditions and threatened with deportation if they wouldn't cooperate. Again, it's so Jesus-y of him. After the conviction, he rebranded his organizations and went right on back to ministry. Pakistani men who'd work with him later posted a video saying they didn't feel safe around him and asking him not to come back to their country. He kept going. In February and March of 2025, two women filed civil lawsuits naming both Reginald and John Paul as defendants, alleging the men used their positions as church leaders to target minors. One plaintiff says she was 15 in 1998. The other says she was 14 in 1999 and a student at Cathedral Hall Academy, a school Reginald ran. One lawsuit cites text messages in which John Paul allegedly admitted to relationships with 15-year-old girls when he was 19. He's denied every allegation. Of course he has. He's filed a counterclaim calling them defamatory. No criminal charges have been filed on those claims. Reginald didn't respond to either suit. Default orders were entered against him. He told the court he's broke. John Paul Miller grew up in that house, under that man, inside those churches. He then became the pastor of Solid Rock Church at Market Common in Myrtle Beach. Now, if that's the environment you're growing up in, is it all that much of a shock that you, too, may not necessarily have the best decision-making abilities on the planet? It's not an excuse, and it's not in any way wiping away the decisions a grown-ass man named John Paul Miller has made. But it is identifying part of the recipe. And when you identify part of the recipe, it's not to excuse it. In fact, it's almost more there to reinforce it, to go, oh, all of these things over here look pretty true. Well, look at what he grew up in. Oh, and then you know how that tends to reflect itself in people. A reflection of what they came out of, what they grew up in, the flavor of soil and water in which they grew. And you go, oh, well, yeah, that would be the type of plant that comes out of that. It's not, you know, a court finding. It's not a ruling. It's not a conviction. It's common sense. It's understanding people in psychology and how this shit tends to work, especially if they don't break away and do something completely different. John Paul, by most accounts, just said, yeah, I'm good with this field. I'm going to keep farming here. And before Micah ever entered into the picture, his first wife already knew exactly who he was. In a sworn divorce affidavit, Allison Williams stated that John Paul had previously admitted to both me and our congregation that he had an addiction to prostitution. It's
That's something a lot of people get addicted to. That's who he was before Micah walked through the door. Micah Francis moved to Myrtle Beach at 15, got married at 18, divorced at 21. She went to work at Solid Rock Church, where she led youth group worship sessions at the women's ministry. By every account, she was the heart of that congregation. In a police report filed on February 21st of 24, Micah told Myrtle Beach officers she'd known John Paul since she was... Bum-ba-da-da! 10. 10. 10 years old. That he groomed her while she worked for him at the church until they married. Groomed her through that whole first marriage. His attorneys called that false. Micah's sister, Sierra Francis, who said it started about 14 or 15. Here's what isn't contested. John Paul Miller is 14 years older than Micah. She was a young woman working inside his church. He was the senior pastor. Allison Williams divorced him after discovering the affair with Micah. You know, Jesus-y. According to one account, Micah had been babysitting his four children. They married in 2017. And while he was remarried to, or while he was married to Micah, he was allegedly involved with yet another woman from the congregation, Susie Skinner. Allison Williams later called the affair an open secret. Susie Skinner, the wife of the man, the paraplegic, war hero, who they found at the bottom of a pool in his wheelchair under, one might say, suspicious circumstances. In sworn testimony, in one of Miller's civil cases, Susie admitted she'd had an adulterous affair with him. Miller said that she didn't start dating until January 25. Her testimony under oath says otherwise. Chris Skinner, Susie's husband, the quadriplegic Army veteran who'd been paralyzed at 20 in a car crash. He was a motivational speaker and author and a father of twins. According to Allison Williams' affidavit, Chris confronted John Paul about the affair 2 weeks before his death. It's important, because on Labor Day of 21, Chris Skinner's wheelchair rolled into the community pool in Market Common. He drowned, strapped to the chair. His death was ruled accidental. Might want to look at the tape again. John Paul Miller delivered the eulogy at Chris Skinner's funeral. He stood in front of that man's family and gave the sermon. So here's who we're talking about. A man who confessed a prostitution addiction to his own congregation, then had an affair with a young woman from his church and married her, who, while married to her, had an affair with another congregant, while federal prosecutors now allege he was simultaneously cyber-stalking his wife. You know, Jesus-y stuff. The other woman's husband confronted him. That husband was dead 2 weeks later, and Miller gave the eulogy. Surprise has taken this long for a Netflix doc. The federal indictment was filed on December 17th of 25. It alleges the cyberstalking ran from November of 22 through the day Micah died. 17 months. Tracking devices on her vehicle, an intimate photograph posted online without her consent, more than 50 contacts in a single day. These are all things that are alleged to have been done by the pastor. Interference with her finances and her daily life. He allegedly bought a tire deflation device online and used it to damage her car. While federal investigators asked him about it, prosecutors allege he lied, told agents he'd hired a private investigator to keep Micah from buying firearms. Prosecutors say he actually used a PI to stalk her. That's not the work of a gaslighting narcissist or anything like that. Although I would challenge that. I would challenge that this is more than a narcissist. This is, I would go sociopath, possibly psychopath. That's my guess. I can't diagnose anybody. But if we're watching the behavior as it's played out, you got some dark triad shit going on right there. Have fun with that, Susie. Micah filed at least 8 complaints with the Myrtle Beach Police Department. 8. She reported tracking a stolen vehicle, being hospitalized against her will. 8 times she went to the police. In January 23, they separated. In October 23, she filed for divorce. That filing was dismissed by consent order, and she went back. On February 8th of 24, Micah was involuntarily hospitalized for 48 hours. John Paul told the police she suffers from mental health disorders and has episodes on an annual basis. While she was inside, he showed up at the hospital and collected her purse and car keys. When she got out on February 10th, her car was gone. She met police in a Walmart parking lot to report it stolen. John Paul told officers he'd taken the car to prevent it from being sold. And here's the part that should make your jaw hit the floor. He held health care power of attorney over her. The man she was accusing of controlling every part of her life had legal authority over her medical decisions. The court had given him that. The same police report is where she told officers about the grooming. She gave them the whole picture, the timeline, the car, the hospitalization. She handed them every piece of it. 2 months later, she was dead, and the man she'd reportedly still had 2 months later, she was dead, and the man she'd reported still held that power of attorney. In the weeks after that report, Micah wrote on Facebook that she'd been abused in every way I can think of since the day that they were married. She'd posted a video offering advice for people in abusive relationships. A friend later said her final message didn't sound like a woman about to die. It sounded like a woman making plans to live. A post-nuptial agreement was drafted in February 24, giving Micah the Africa Missions Ministry, the Dare to Care mission, and a bank account at South State Hospital. Interesting, gifting missions in your post-nuptial agreement. Court records show she'd retained an attorney for divorce purposes, and on April 25th of 24, she filed for divorce a second time. 2 days later, at 12:12 p.m., she walked into a pawn shop at Joe White Avenue in Myrtle Beach and bought a handgun and ammo. Her phone showed a search for National Parks Near Me. She drove 41 minutes to Lumber River State Park in Robeson County, North Carolina. At 2:54 p.m., she called 911 and asked the dispatcher if her phone could be tracked. She said she wanted her family to know where to find her. A fisherman at the park heard crying, then a single gunshot. Her body was found in the water. Investigators confirmed John Paul Miller was in Charleston at a sporting event that day. License plate readers tracked his vehicle. He was not in Robeson County. Micah Francis Miller was 30 years old. The next morning, John Paul Miller, not by himself, not surrounded by friends and family, morning trying to get through this. The next morning, John Paul Miller, in all of his narcissistic glory, stood in front of his congregation at Solid Rock Church and preached a full Sunday service. He talked about taking a break. He said he didn't want to have to worry about the church. Then at the very end, he dropped it. Goes through the whole service, doesn't mention a thing about her. Then at the very end, as if it's like, and by the way, there's coffee and donuts in the narthex. He says, I got a call late last night that my wife just passed away. It was self-induced. It was up in North Carolina. He told them she wasn't well mentally and needed medicine. It was hard to get it to her. Told them not to discuss her death then. Don't talk about it, though. Let's keep this to ourselves. We don't want speculation that there might be something going on. Then he handed the mic to another pastor and left. A body language expert who analyzed the video told News Nation, we're not seeing any grief here. We're not seeing what we call adapters to things we use to self-soothe.
He read her eulogy. He visited the morgue multiple times and said he'd hoped she would wake up. Told his congregation he tried to raise her from the dead. And in a sit-down interview with News Nation, that's one of the most bizarre I've ever seen. I do highly recommend watching it. He said, I am the only one not to blame. Then he went after the narrative. He posted TikTok videos claiming he had 350 pieces of proof about Micah's death and promising to reveal who was actually responsible. He said his silence up to that point had been nothing more than wisdom and self-control so that we can win the war that is up ahead. Grandiose a bit. 4 days after Micah's death, he was seen at a bar with Susie Skinner. Witnesses describe him as kind of sloppy. They took a shot together before leaving. The man who told his congregation he'd tried to raise his own wife from the dead was out drinking with the woman he'd marry 13 months later, helping her cheat on his quadriplegic husband. Prosecutors showed up at Solid Rock Church every Sunday after that, chanting, or protesters rather, showed up every... prosecutors might have been a good idea too, just start to get lay of the land. Protesters showed up at Solid Rock Church every Sunday after that, chanting, justice for Micah. Miller's response was to set up sprinklers aimed at the sidewalk to spray them. He read an email to the Sun News calling the protesters pagans who were trying to stop Christians from worshiping. The church's board relieved him of his duties. On November 1st of 24, FBI agents then raided his home and removed bags of evidence. No one said why. 5 days later, he was arrested for assault and battery after a confrontation with a protester, a woman who'd said, "Here, kitty, kitty," to him outside the church. Bond was $776. Movers emptied Solid Rock the next day. The lettering came off the building. The property sold in February of 25 for $2.15 million. He applied for a new ministry called Living Water Church. Then another one called Mercy Church Ministries. It's almost like they have dice. Some of these churches, it's like different words on the dice. And wherever it lands, whatever three letters, that's the name of your church. Wherever three words, that's the name. Water, living, cross, you know, just. It's the same word salad every time. It sounds deep and inspirational. And you're like, wait a second, that's the name of like every fucking church around. Then another one called Mercy Church Ministries, Scandal, Rebrand, Resume. It's kind of dad's playbook. The civil lawsuits landed, two women filing anonymously alleging assault of minors through the Miller family's churches and school. His father named as co-defendant in both, defaulting on both. Miller denied everything and filed counterclaims. Then the wedding. This is where we started. The armed guards on a Myrtle Beach beach, 13 months after Micah died. None of their children present. His convicted father in attendance. Marrying the woman whose husband was wheeled into a community pool with rather close ties to JP. But it wasn't suspicious. You want to go for a swim, don't you? Speculation was that the marriage was designed to keep them from testifying against each other. Spousal privilege doesn't cover premarital communications, though. The Horry County coroner reopened the investigation into Chris Skinner's drowning in early 25 after new evidence surfaced. Evidence was reportedly sent to the FBI. Myrtle Beach police reviewed the case and then reclosed it in March, saying nothing new indicated a crime. Chris Skinner's sister told reporters it isn't over. On December 17th of 25, a federal grand jury indicted John Paul Miller on cyber stalking and false statements. He pled not guilty on January 12th of 26, posted $100,000 bond, got an ankle monitor, and was restricted to South Carolina. He's requested four continuances since. Prosecutors have described the discovery as voluminous. This pretrial conference is August 25th. His trial's been pushed to October of 26. The Netflix documentary drops the next day, August 26th. Produced by the same team behind the Murdaugh murder series, Micah's friends and family are speaking publicly for the first time. The footage hasn't been seen before. Micah Miller told police her husband has been controlling her since she was a child. She told Facebook she'd been abused in every way she could think of. She filed for divorce twice. She called 911 and asked the dispatcher to make sure her family could find her body. 8 police reports, healthcare power of attorney in his hands, a church that gave him a platform for 2 decades, and not one of those institutions stopped what was happening to her. John Paul Miller has pled not guilty and faces up to 7 years. He has a new wife whose previous husband is dead. He has a new church. And the man who stood in front of his congregation and said he tried to raise Micah from the dead has never once said he's sorry for anything he did to her while she was alive. Micah Francis Miller was 30 years old. Yeah. So there's all that. We will continue to cover this case. We will continue to dig deeper into this case. Because there's a lot to be seen here. A lot to shine a light on. Into the dark, empty void. Where John Paul Miller likes to pretend a soul exists. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in. We'll continue our conversation right there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Micah was found dead from a gunshot wound just 48 hours after serving JP with divorce papers. Interesting coincidence. The day after her death, JP held a bizarre church service. A year later, he married Susie Skinner, a woman from his church whose previous husband died in a tragic pool accident, a quadriplegic that somehow wheeled his way into the pool. If that was on purpose or an accident, it's been deemed an accident. That's where it sits right now, as of right now. No one's been charged in it as a murder, but again, a little weird. Just a little. Siobhan, the thing that I think strikes so many people, this man who apparently had this fervent, I don't want to call it love, obsession with Micah and all the horrible things he was doing to her leading up to her death. But also he cares about her so deeply. He goes to such lengths prior to her death, and then she's dead. And he's able to just start a church service. He's joking at the beginning. He does a parody song to Billy Joel's "In the Middle of the Night," "The River of Dreams," and he yucks it up on stage with one of the congregants. Does a whole sermon. Doesn't mention anything about Micah until the very end, and then suddenly the lights go down and, by the way, she's dead. Don't talk about it as you leave. Have a nice day. It's like, what kind of compartmentalization is going on here? I mean, I think the first thing anybody thinks of is, you know, you can take a breath. If your ex-wife or your wife dies in circumstances like this, you know, I think everyone would understand if somebody else took the reins that morning and did the show and did the church service. That wasn't what happened here. He was able to be very composed on stage there at the church and deliver really a fairly... what I guess one would consider a normal service until the very end. And even that was not, I would say, I don't know what normal is when you're describing something like that, but it didn't seem, I guess, cohesive to reality. What the hell was going on there. How would you describe what you saw in that?
Completely bizarre. That was, you know, when we were watching on YouTube the different clips about this story when it first happened. That was the weirdest thing. I mean, there have been so many weird things about this, but that flies in the face of everything we know about how people process emotions.
Yeah.
You don't just get up and give a sermon. If he had genuinely had any kind of loving attachment with her, it makes no sense at all. And again, you would think the congregation would go, well, this was a little weird. But these folks apparently didn't. It's completely strange. And again, with the kind of histrionic personality, they can, when they do the big emotions, like, oh, how much I love her and I want her back and I'm trying so hard to get her back, it's about this deep, you know? It's not real. None of that caring about her was real. She was an object to him. And this, you know, yeah. I don't even know how to describe it other than it's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen and witnessed. And it seems he
really had to tell the narrative that she was crazy. That seems to be the underlying thing.
That was the theme.
Mm-hmm. The whole time, anytime he talked about it, like, well, you know, she's mentally ill. Like, it's not, yeah. I mean, and I think like a healthy person who's has someone like that in their life that is trying to care for them and try to help them. When you're talking about them, that's not necessarily the thing you bring up into everybody. It's like, yeah, they're doing good. You're not like, and they're batshit fucking crazy. You know,
and they're not listening to me. That was
they're not listening to me. I mean, it got real like the pathology, everything. Like he was getting into her pathology with anybody and anyone who would listen. How important was that for somebody like that to basically, she's crazy, so anything that comes out of her mouth that's going to talk about me and my crazy, it was a giant veil for covering up his shit, it seems like. And I mean, how much fear is going on there when she serves the divorce papers that I'm going to be exposed? I mean, the divorce papers get issued. 2 days later, she's dead. I'm not saying he did it, but the narcissistic injury that I'm sure that caused was pretty deep. And how he lashed out, again, I'm not saying he did it, but how he then presented all of this out there was very much, you know, it's not about me at all. She's the sick one. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, always. That was his agenda. And he brought it up over and over and over. And, you know, she's on meds. She's not taking her meds, blah, 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 blah. And we have no way of knowing the truth about any of that. And were any of the meds appropriate? Would it have been needed if she was not with him? Mm-hmm. Which I think is a really strong possibility. But yeah, it's all self-serving. It's the story he's telling to make himself look like, look, I'm such a wonderful guy, and she was crazy. And if that's not gaslighting, I don't know what is, because he's playing a game on everybody and trying to manipulate and control the narrative to make himself look good.
Yeah, I tell you, it's really, I mean, it was skillful manipulation, because we've seen controlling narratives before with these controlling freaks. And he was definitely attempting to control the narrative, but his ability to do that so far in advance by laying the groundwork of her being crazy and him saying, please take the meds, he's laying up that, in other words, he can actually always preempt all of her actions, or after the fact, respond to her actions, no matter what they are, because he set it up months and years ahead of time with, well, she must be off her meds. I told her to take her meds. And so no matter what she does, he's got the narrative under control. Even though he probably couldn't predict the future, no matter what. So he intuitively, it looks like, controls that narrative preemptively with the people that he wants to bring into his circle. He gains these levers of control over them.
Yeah.
It was just, I mean, it's he could write a book on how to be a narcissist.
Well,
I mean, talk about this for a little bit. Like, how frequently in practice do you see this sort of thing where you have a couple and they need some help, they need some direction, and they're coming to you, and it's this sort of a dynamic, not to the extreme where somebody's getting murdered, but where one is going to control the whole narrative of what's going on here, she's crazy or he's crazy, and here's why, when it really is the other way around, but it's being presented in such a way, and they really think they can sell it to everybody. I mean, is this, you know, how does talk to that of your experience?
Yeah, it definitely does happen. And that's when we can go back to the good old acronym that's so popular, DARVO, deny, yeah, attack, reverse, victim, and offender. And a guy that comes in like that will always present himself as a victim. And that's why my style with couples is to see them individually before I see them together, because I want to hear really from their point of view what's going on, and you pick up on a lot of this stuff that way and then see them together. And interestingly enough, a guy like this, often it's right out there, and they start immediately telling the therapist, well, this is what's wrong with her, and that's what's wrong with her, and none of it fits the person that I met individually. And then I've even had them call me on the phone, which is quite interesting, and leave a long voicemail about, let me tell you what I think about her and what you need to do with her. Mm. And it's always way off base, but it's this, you know, people like this really believe they can manipulate the therapist too. And it's, yeah, prognosis not good. These are the ones, what is treatment goal here? Help her see she needs to get away from him. You know, and sometimes it can go the other way with gender, you know.
Yeah.
But when people come to marital counseling or couples counseling, often they come in with the agenda, we just want to make this a good marriage. We want to transform this. And when you have this kind of abuse going on, they just need to get away from each other. And that's one of the reasons at this point in my long career, I prefer not to do a lot of couples, just because I end up so much of the time saying, you just need to get away from
that. Yeah. Yeah. And nobody wants that. They're coming in for help and you're like, fuck it, run for your life.
And though sometimes they just need the validation. And those are the people that come back to me 20 years later and say, I just want to thank you so much for helping me see that I needed to get away.
Is that what you typically do in those situations, Siobhan? Because I mean, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know, I've always, you know, thought of, you know, I would have liked to have done that going into counseling. I didn't have the 50-pound brain like you do for it. But, you know, thinking I'd love to go in there and help be a resource for people moving forward with healthy relationships. But when you face complete nutters that are so entrenched, you know, like one like this, I say I have such good healthy relationships in my life now because I see people's red flags so far in the distance that I can say so far away, but in this case it's right in your face. And so what do you just say go away, or do you encourage them to, or do you take them on and try to fix them, or do you just say, dude, you two just need to get away from each other?
Well, I try to be a little less direct than you need to get away from each other, because that's probably not in the beginning what they want to hear. But I'm confused a lot. And I'll say, okay, John, you say you love Mary, but X, Y, and Z happened, and just in front of me, you just said these really incredibly mean criticisms. How is that love? Can you explain how that's love to me? And then he'll go into his self-justification, and then I'll say, okay, that sort of sounds like control. And can you see things from her point of view? He never can. And so there's a lot of questioning and confusion. And then somewhere near the end of the visit, and this is often in one visit, I'll say, you know, it sounds like you're very happy with who you are. And the only thing you see here is that you want Mary to be submissive and to, you know, agree with everything you want. Are you happy with how you are? Do you have any goals to work on yourself other than come in and sit here and point the finger at Mary? And he doesn't. And he'll say, no, I think I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. And then I look at Mary and say, Mary, are you hearing this? He is fine the way he is. And often I get this surprised look. And that can be the place where you intervene and where you see a shift. So it doesn't always go that way, but that's my.
And do you call an Uber for one of them so you don't hear like about, and then they drove directly into an 18-wheeler on the way home, you know, because
yeah,
very well done.
I would be, I mean, honest, I bet with an ex. I've been in a session before where it was just like, you know, things were brought to light where it was uncomfortable for her of like, and then, and unfortunately we drove together and she was driving us. And trust me, I was gripping the, like, please, like, if I have to, I'm going to have to go over and grab the real wheel really quick, because I think she might be a little uncomfortable with what was revealed about her psyche here today. One more thing on this. Just over a year later, JP married Susie Skinner. We talked about that a little bit. Shockingly, Susie's previous husband died in a mysterious pool accident, and JP had officiated their wedding too. What is with this guy officiating people's weddings and then sleeping with the bride? And then, I mean, this is like, what are the odds here on this? I mean, statistically, I can't imagine there's a lot of people who've officiated two weddings for people, eventually married them, and then have like two rather shocking deaths connected to said person or person's partner shortly thereafter. I mean, that to me, red flag.
Medieval England is what it is.
I mean, I don't know what the question is, but what do you make of that pattern that we're seeing here with JP?
Another bizarre thing. He does one weird thing after another, and you almost get the sense it's look what I can get away with. Look what I can do. And he's attracted to that sense of power. There's just every which way with this guy, signs of toxicity, narcissism, histrionics, Machiavellism. He's manipulative. Yeah.
He's the full old country buffet of Cluster B. Like, what do you want? I'll go to the Cluster B bar over here. It's right next to the salad. Looks delicious. It's got this a little dirty over here.
One more, Siobhan, if we have a second. So we haven't really talked about what makes someone like this yet. You know, because we talk about those arcs. I love talking about those arcs because they're so predictive. You know, past is prologue with these sorts of things. And it's easy to talk about psychopathy because that's a lot of malformations, brains, and then some, part of how he grew up as well that might, throw some kerosene on that. But someone like JP, what kind of, is there a typical upbringing that someone has or a typical background that they have that creates this sort of super uber controlling nutter that wants to sexually abuse people? Again, all conjecture. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But from what we saw from the special, what makes that nut?
We'd love to have the exact template, right? Best guess is combination. You know, we know a lot of personality traits are inherited. We understand that far more than we used to. He had a dad who was apparently very sexually compulsive, very manipulative, very similar, also a pastor who did terrible things. So my guess is there's a genetic component to the personality, and then he was raised by someone that he modeled after. And if we got enough into his childhood, what kind of kid was he? He was probably weird in elementary school, and a lot of this stuff was going on. So,
wouldn't that be interesting? That would be that's a sitcom right there, a dark sitcom. JP in elementary.
As a child, yeah.
As a child, I can only imagine the horror stories.
Child piano prodigy turns into complete nutter creep.
If I had an extra day of the week, I'd be like trying to find like the yearbook and reaching out to the classmates that went to school with him. That would be a very interesting.
You might find it was only three of them that they were in a classroom or a room together in someone's house cloistered.
That's true. That might be what we find. You're exactly. Yeah. I'm going to dig a little bit.
Hard to imagine him in public school and making it through, but maybe.
I don't know. Maybe. He's on the playground, like doing like preaching as a child or something.
Oh my God.
He's got a little cult started in third grade. All right. Your thoughts in the comment section, Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. We're of course going to keep following this as it continues to go forward. There's so much more to this case. I'm so happy Netflix finally brought it out into ether beyond just the handful of us who've been reporting on it. And then John Paul attacking everyone who does, in a very coercive, controlling sort of way. Sorry, John, it's out for Netflix now. the world's coming for you. Have fun, JP. All right, your thoughts in the comment section. Until next time. For Siobhan, whose latest book is right here, Nightbird. Got it right here. Check it out wherever you get books. Robin's got a masterclass. Robin.
Yes, become the person that everyone trusts. That's it's a great theme for everything we do every life. And yeah, you get it on Masterclass. You go to masterclass.com/Robin Dreek. My name. That's it. Good times together.
Links in the description as well. Go and check that out. Until next time, for Robin, Siobhan, and Todd, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.